Support for this podcast and the following message come from Dignity Memorial. When your celebration of life is prepaid today, your family is protected tomorrow. Planning ahead is truly one of the best gifts you can give your family. For additional information, visit dignitymemorial.com.
Bullseye with Jesse Thorne is a production of MaximumFun.org and is distributed by NPR.
It's Bullseye. I'm Jesse Thorne. Like the best games, the idea is very simple. A ball rolls around. Anything smaller than the ball sticks to it, and the ball gets bigger. Anything bigger than the ball is an obstacle, a roadblock. You bounce off that. Get the ball big enough to get the biggest thing, you move on to the next level. If that game came out now, I guess it would be on your phone, one of those apps that your kid accidentally drops $50 in to get star points. Probably not a story thing. It would be called Roll Ball Deluxe or something. $1 million idea. Done. But Katamari Damacy, that is the name of the game we are talking about in real life. Katamari Damacy came out in 2004 on PlayStation. At first, it was a so-so success. Then it was a big success. Now it is a legendary classic. And because it came out in 2004, and because of the unusual mind from which it came, there is a story, a whopper of a story. The king of the cosmos, who is a godlike, fancy, royal being, has thrown the universe into chaos. He's destroyed all the stars. He has made a mess of things. And you, a tiny prince, must rebuild it. Paperclip by paperclip, then goose by goose, cow by cow, eventually cars and trucks and whole buildings. And of course, there is the classic soundtrack. Katamari, do your best. Picnic, keep 'em feel so good. My guest, Keita Takahashi, created Katamari Damacy. He did so at Namco, a company best known at the time for fighting games like Tekken and Soul Edge. And as you might have gathered, Katamari Damacy is not Tekken or Soul Edge. Katamari changed what big video games could be. They could be unique, simple, weird, hilarious, and even still be hits. To celebrate the 20th anniversary of Katamari Damacy, you can now listen to the soundtrack on streaming platforms everywhere, and Keita Takahashi has a new game coming out. It's called To a T. It's about a child whose arms stick straight out, like a T. All right, let's get into it. My interview with the great Keita Takahashi. Keita, welcome to Bullseye. I'm so happy to have you on the show.
Hey, I'm so nervous.
No, don't worry about it. You're already doing great. We've got you set up with an interpreter and a computer to show me your new game. Everything is working, so we've already won, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, but the me is the program. I hope I work.
What were your favorite kinds of games when you were a kid?
I was so enjoying to play with my friends, especially the one of my friends has tons of the game. So every day, we just went there when he went to his house to play after the school. But I wasn't sure if I want to be a game designer or not. I just enjoy the game.
Did you think of it at all when you were a kid? Did you ever think, I want to work in video games?
No, not at all.
What did you think?
When I was a kid, I wanted to be a pilot.
Really?
for the airplane, because you can travel free.
What about when you were an adolescent? What about when you were a teenager?
I don't think I have anything that I want to be in that teenager. I just was so busy to survive the teenage life. I was learning the art when I was under, like, before the start the preschool. Then my mom let me go to the art school. Then that was so fun. I was very good at the painting or drawing something. But after the elementary school, I stopped drawing something. But in the high school, I just realized, the drawing art or making something is what I want to do after graduate. I decided to go to art college. So to become the artist is not what I wanted.
You wanted to make stuff.
Yeah, that's it.
Was there something that you made that you were proud of? It's hard to be proud of things. It's both easy and hard to be proud of things when you're a teenager that you made.
Yeah, there's nothing, but I'm still proud what I made in the art college, which is not in the teenager, because it's after the 20.
When you were in art college, did your classmates want to be fine artists, like gallery artists?
I don't know, because I have no friends in the college.
Really?
Yeah, maybe a few. I was so picky. I mean, I'm still picky. For me, at the moment, at the time, the other student, yeah, like, I saw the other students that thrown away the object that they made in the art class, then I hate it. Even it's a prototype or like a studied stuff, I didn't want to throw away, then make it the garbage. That's a kind of one of the reasons I didn't have any friends. I was so biased and very narrow perspective, which is so ridiculous.
Did you want to keep the things that you had made?
As much as possible. So my plan is, I just realized, maybe I should make a tool, not as a art. even right now, I don't know what the art means. But yeah, I decided to make a tool, but not sculpture.
Something useful.
Yeah, something useful. The sculpture I made the first was a flower pot shaped like a goat.
I've seen a picture of this goat flower pot.
Yeah, that was great invention to me.
I agree. I was like, oh man, why are all my flowers planted in flower pots instead of goat flower pots?
Yeah, that was so stupid.
It looks like it's the size of a goat, too.
Yeah.
In the pictures.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, that thing is the first object that I made that I can proud of me. And I still can't forget when I presentation to the other students or teacher or professor. So there's no soil on the back, but I just brought my like a water bin and just pouring the water. And then
Did you put a towel on the ground?
No, sorry. I should have.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a minute when we return even more with legendary video game creator Keita Takahashi. It's Bullseye from MaximumFun.org and NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor FX, presenting Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Shopify, the global commerce platform that helps you sell and show up exactly the way you want to. Customize your online store to your style. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/NPR. This message comes from NPR sponsor Hulu. We Were the Lucky Ones is the true story of one Jewish family's struggle to survive and reunite after being separated at the start of World War II. The series is for your Emmy consideration in all categories, including Outstanding Limited Series and Outstanding Lead Actress and Actor in a Limited Series for Joey King and Logan Lerman. For more information, visit fyc.hulu.com.
Support for NPR and the following message come from our sponsor, Whole Foods Market. Host a celebratory brunch for less with 365 by Whole Foods Market, featuring wallet-happy finds like cold smoked Atlantic salmon and more.
Welcome back to Bullseye. I'm Jesse Thorne. My guest is Keita Takahashi. 20 years ago, he created and designed the classic video game Katamari Damacy. It's a completely unique and profoundly bizarre game in which you play a little tiny prince who rolls a little tiny ball around, and the ball is sticky and it gets bigger and bigger as it gets stuff stuck to it. Also, there's amazing music and a kind of space god who bosses you around and is very sassy. Wonderful game. Maybe the best ever. In the observation of Katamari Damacy's 20th anniversary, the studio that created it is releasing the game's wonderful soundtrack on all streaming platforms. And Takahashi is hard at work on a new video game set to be released later this year called To a T. A couple years after he finished school, basically on a whim, he applied for a gig making video games. He didn't have any experience. He didn't really play video games, but guess what? He got the job. That job was at Namco, the video game publishing company behind games like Pac-Man, Tekken, and Galaga.
When did you get the chance to pitch ideas for games at work?
Usually, the new employee doesn't have any chance to pitch the new game. But the creative boss helped me to pitch the game. Then that was a Katamari Damacy.
Really? That was your first pitch?
Mm-hmm.
Even now, as someone who played hours and hours and hours and hours of Katamari Damacy, I'm not 100% sure how I would pitch that game to my boss at the video game company.
Really?
Do you remember what you said? Did you bring pictures?
No, I don't think so. I just talk with him. But before I talk with the boss, I got the friends. He's a game designer. So since I'm an artist, I ask him, I talk with, this idea would be the game. And then he said, no. But this time, yeah, he said, yes, wow, this could be the game. And then, oh, really? I'm surprised. And then I just really polished my idea. But at that time, I don't think I even didn't draw something. I just speak to my boss and let him know my idea. And then he said, "Wow, that's great."
So you just went into your boss's office at a company that made regular video games, big regular video games, and said, "I have an idea for a game. The King of the Cosmos accidentally destroyed all the stars, and to get them back, the prince has to roll in the world up into a ball
not that moment.
And throw it into the sky."
Not yet. Those details will be the later. Yeah.
So was it just my idea is, what if you could roll everything up in a ball?
Yeah, that's it. So when I got the idea, I was walking back to the station at night, and then I was keep thinking what I'd like to make as a game designer, even I was an artist, because there was a grateful opportunity to make a video game as a creator in the game company. So the artist just drawing the art or design the character, it's not fun to me. I wanted to make a game. So since I joined the Namco, which is the company I joined.
Yeah.
I keep thinking the game idea. The one day when I go back to walking to the station in the night, just the idea literally like a drop from the sky in my brain. I saw rolling object, spinning the object. And then when I ride on the train, the object start moving and then pick up something and then getting bigger.
Like a snowball.
Yeah. And then when I take off, right off the train, and then the ball is getting bigger, then rolling up everything. The next day, I talk with my, like I mentioned earlier, like a game designer friend. And he said, "Wow, that's great."
Were you surprised that he said that? I mean, this was a company that, you know, made famous early arcade games, Pac-Man and Dig Dug and those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. But by the time you were working there, they were famous for making, I guess, probably Tekken.
Yeah, Tekken.
A fighting game or
racing game, like a Ridge Racer.
Racing games, Soul Calibur.
Yeah.
Which is a fighting game with a lot of swords in it, I think.
Yeah. I know. For some people, that would be the best game ever. But for me, not.
Right.
Yeah. I really like the games that the Namco made before, like a Dig Dug or Pac-Man. That was so new, even it's old and unique. I wanted to get back the vibe. So that's a kind of the reason why I also put the weird character into the game, like a King of Cosmos or Prince.
The King of All Cosmos in Katamari, says lots of stuff. The sound that you hear on the soundtrack is a record scratching.
Yeah.
But he says lots of goofy, crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that it's written is very specific, at least in English.
Mm-hmm.
And I always wondered if it was intentionally odd or just a very literal translation that came out odd.
I wrote Japanese version, like old Japanese version text. But my colleague, co-worker, which is for working at the localization department, they told me it was so difficult to translate my Japanese text to English properly. Then finally, they found a nice translator. That means it is all intentional.
Here we are, Earth, full of things as usual. Ack, so small. You're as small as ever. We didn't notice not one jot, what with the stars and all. What is that? That body, that physique? Could you really be our sun? Aha, I've got it. Build yourself up while you roll the katamari. Work out and get bigger.
Yeah.
I just, there's a wiki that just has everything he says on it. He also, when you roll a mosquito into the katamari, he says, mosquito.
What's wrong? It is mosquito.
There's so many things that are so specific about katamari damacy and not like other things that what I imagine is people bringing you their project, their piece, you know, their little piece of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And you saying it has to be much less like other games.
Do you think so?
I think so, yeah. I've played it.
Really? But when I was making the katamari, I feel like, oh, this is just a Pac-Man in the 3D. That's it. Nothing changed. Just additionally, just the ball is getting bigger. That's the point. But besides that, it was not so unique idea for me. And even that maybe because I was tired, but during the QA time.
That's quality assurance. That's like checking for bugs in the game.
Yeah. The games make me so sleep. because looking at the rolling object in the screen, that makes me
sleep. Yeah, I mean, it's mesmerizing. For sure. Even though it's cheerful and there's upbeat music playing.
Uh-huh.
There's something so calming about gathering, right. Even though funny things are happening all along, you know, when you roll, there's no way not to laugh at rolling up a cow into a ball,
mm-hmm.
But it does have a kind of hypnotic effect. The thing that I remember the most about playing Katamari Damacy is the aesthetics.
Mm-hmm.
So both the way that it looks,
mm-hmm.
which is flat, colors.
Mm.
I don't know how to describe the. It is a. It's a kind of cartooniness without exaggeration.
Mm.
It's literal but flat,
mm-hmm.
And very colorful, and also music that I remember playing that game, and I had never heard music like that in a video game.
Mm-hmm.
You.
We'll finish my conversation with Keita Takahashi after a quick break. When we return, we will talk about his upcoming game, 2AT, and why I can't wait to play it. It's Bullseye for MaximumFun.org and NPR.
This message comes from Apple Card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase. That's 3% on products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
It's Bullseye. I'm Jesse Thorne. I'm talking to Keita Takahashi. He created the video games Katamari Damacy and the upcoming 2AT. There's a famous video game glitch in a basketball game where this center for the Los Angeles Lakers, Andrew Bynum, former center for the Los Angeles Lakers, who is mostly known for being husky for us. Guy as tall as he was, where he is stuck with his arms sticking straight out. And it's really funny because he's a basketball player.
Oh.
And it's not human. It's supposed to be a human character, and it's not human to stick your arms straight out. Your new game is that as a game. I haven't played it yet, but it seems to be about a boy whose arms stick straight out and can't do anything else.
Right. It's not boy, just teenager. Do you like it? I know you don't. You haven't played.
The part that's the most exciting to me is that he has a dog to help him do stuff. He has like a service dog for people whose arms stick straight out.
Yeah.
Before we even get further into it, I want to play the song. The trailer has a song that's about the game that I'm in love with. So let's listen to some of that song with lyrics that just describe the game, basically. I want to change PJ. I want to try my face. I want to use the restroom by myself. The little things. Yeah. The little things are hard for me. Oh, I don't know why I am a teen. It's not so bad all the time. It's not so bad. My cute dog helps me out so we can go. And la 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 la. I don't know how I became the shape of a teen. Did thinking about this boy going through just the normalist, regularist, most everyday tasks of his life make you think about what going through your everyday life was like when you were a kid or a teenager?
Definitely. The teen gets some trouble in the school because the T-shape, that's unique, right? That's usually happening. Also, I have buried in the middle school in Japan. That was not so great memory, but I think I got the lucky that I could get through the bad experience in good shape. That experience makes me grow up. Oh, that's not related to the video game, but yeah.
I think it is related to the video game. I mean, there's not a lot of people who create art who didn't feel... It's not a lot of people in general, but especially not a lot of people who create art who didn't feel... different and uncomfortable and wrong in some way when they were
adolescent. Mm-hmm. Now, most of them didn't have arms that stuck straight out.
Unfortunately, yeah, that's true. But it's very interesting, right? Just the character is doing the T-pose. How we feel so special about that. Even I still do remember when I pitched this idea to the publisher, that seems like they liked the idea, then they just start hitting each other with these T-pose. I saw that moment, like, oh, this game would be very fun and nice. Just a T-pose in the 21st century, in the PlayStation, like a next generation PlayStation 5 or Xbox X or S. I feel so lucky that I got such a simple idea.
Do you just have a list in your office, on your wall, of weird things you noticed that you might be able to spend 10 years making into a video game?
I don't have a wall in my desk because my desk is in the garage. The wall is super far away. But yeah, I'm keeping creative somehow. It doesn't need to be game designer. I try to be a playground designer at some point, but I failed.
Your ideas were too expensive.
Yeah, but that is still kind of one of my dream. So once I got the billionaire by making the game, then I'm going to spend most of my money to make my private playground.
Well, Keita, it was really nice to get to talk to you, and you've made some of the works of art in my life that have brought me the greatest joy and pleasure. So
thank you
for that. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Keita Takahashi, special thanks to his interpreter, Ai Saito, for helping facilitate our conversation. Keita's newest game, To a T, is set to come out later this year. Keep your eyes peeled. If you haven't played Katamari Damacy, I can't even begin to tell you how much you should. Oh, it is just the absolute best. His other work is really amazing, too. Katamari is on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and Windows PC. Katamari, do your best.
Let's roll up to be a single star in the sky. I hear you calling me. I want to word you up into my life. Let's lop up to make a single star in the sky to you.
That's the end of another episode of Bullseye. Bullseye created from the homes of me and the staff of Maximum Fun in and around Greater Los Angeles, California. It's baseball season here in Los Angeles. My producer Kevin is wearing his Dodgers hat. I'm wearing a Giants sweatshirt. And never the twain shall meet, except for the last 3 days when the Dodgers beat the Giants. Show's produced by Speaking Into Microphones. Our senior producer is Kevin Ferguson. We'll be back. Our producers are Jesus Ambrosio and Richard Roby. Our production fellow at Maximum Fun is Daniel Huesias. We get booking help from Mara Davis. Special thanks this week to Ariel Flinkman with Women's Audio Mission in San Francisco for recording my interview with Keita Takahashi. Our interstitial music is by DJW, also known as Dan Wally. Our theme song is called Huddle Formation, written and recorded by the Go Team. Thanks to them and to their label Memphis Industries. You can find Bullseye on Instagram at Bullseye with Jesse Thorne. I also just started a new Instagram account. You can follow me at Jesse Thorne Very Famous. Bullseye is also on Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook, and I think that's about it. Just remember, all great radio hosts have a signature sign-off.
Bullseye with Jesse Thorne is a production of MaximumFun.org and is distributed by NPR.
Support for NPR and the following message come from IXL Learning. IXL Learning uses advanced algorithms to give the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. Get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when you sign up today at IXL.com/NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, VCU Massey Comprehensive Cancer Center. Every year, millions of people lose someone to cancer. But as an NCI-designated comprehensive cancer center ranked in the country's top 4%, VCU Massey Comprehensive Cancer Center is unrelenting in finding new ways to understand, detect, treat, and prevent cancer. Unconditionally committed to keeping loved ones in their lives. Learn more at MasseyCancerCenter.org/comprehensive.
I'm Rachel Martin. You probably know how interview podcasts with famous people usually go. There's a host, a guest, and a light Q&A. But on Wildcard, we have ripped up the typical script. It's a new podcast from NPR where I invite actors, artists, and comedians to play a game using a special deck of cards to talk about some of life's biggest questions. Listen to Wildcard wherever you get your podcasts, only from NPR.